Thank you for joining us today on In Focus here on 107.7 The Wolf. I'm John Damschroeder. My guest today is Joe Lopez, a Cleveland businessman leading a company called TrueBlock, a product created by Monroe, Michigan inventor Tom Nachtman to protect against the dangers of fentanyl. Now, unfortunately, anyone in our area is aware of the opioid crisis and the overdose deaths that have become an epidemic of their own. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that can be hundreds to thousands of times more potent than heroin. Drug users are normally unaware that the product they are consuming has been altered with fentanyl, let alone the strength of the fentanyl. This makes the overdose danger obvious. It also means that first interactors with powdery substance have no idea what they are dealing with, and to protect themselves must assume it is the most dangerous form of fentanyl. This is a huge and growing problem which TrueBlock was created to solve. Joe, thanks for joining me today. Let's start here. What is TrueBlock and how does it work?
TrueBlock is a corporation that was developed with a solution, which is called Block, that will help first responders or first interactors of protecting them from secondary exposure to powder substances through inhalation and also through their mouth. But most people don't understand is that what TrueBlock does and what Block does. Most people think that fentanyl actually would absorb through the skin and actually interact and have an overdose. We're trying to educate those that are unaware of how fentanyl and opioids really do work.
So how do they work? How does TrueBlock get in, or the block protect me against the danger?
Correct. Typically what happens is that TrueBlock is used to encapsulate and to protect and to separate the opioid powder substance from inhalation. So what we do is we have a misting agent that will encapsulate it, stop it from transmission.
So when you say a misting agent, essentially you have a spray that you point at the powdery substance, and then what happens?
So here's what happens. Typically when a police officer, let's say they're going to breach a door, and there's some bad guys there, and they're cutting up their fentanyl, and their opioids, and heroin, and they're blending it to get more volume so they can make more sales. Well, when we see that, what we try to do is that the police officer will take Block out of their holster, they'll twist the cap, and they'll mist the powder substance. And what it does, it'll encapsulate it. So it doesn't make it, there's no more transmission into the air. We stop it from inhalation. That's what we do.
So now the first police in the world that had that capability were right here in the Toledo area, Northwood, Ohio Police. Tell me how that happened and then what kind of input you got from the Northwood Police use of the product.
Yeah, it's a great story. Northwood Police is a little suburban police station, but they see a lot of, they have a lot of problems. So they see a lot of issues where their first responders, their police officers, EMS guys are at risk. And they had no way of protecting themselves. So being right down the street from our inventor, from Tom Nachtman, who is the owner of Instacote, and myself, Joe Lopez, and then Jake Kelton, who is a former undercover police officer, we formed this corporation. And we developed Block. And Block, let me tell you the history about Block. Block was designed after a solution that was used in the nuclear industry and it encapsulated nuclear particles. So the best part about it is that we took this scientific approach that's 20 years old, that's been proven in the nuclear industry, and we modified the formula. And then we patented the formula. So what we did is we went to police departments and those that were at risk, and we said, here's a way that you can protect yourselves. We talked to several police departments. Northwood, through their department, said, we have a need. You have a solution. How do we do this? So we went, myself and Jake Kelton, we went and we spoke to the detectives and the leadership of the Northwood Police Department. We demonstrated it. They saw the need. They made a purchase. And they've deployed it. So it's been great that they've deployed it. And since then, they have been a huge advocate for us. And they have turned other people on to use and Block. Recently, they also engage Oregon Police Department. Again, another suburb or the west side, a smaller police department. And they have used it and deployed Block also. So it really did launch from the western suburbs of Toledo.
So now you have University Hospital in Cleveland, and of course, the Cleveland is kind of a medical mecca. University Hospital is one of the premier organizations in the entire country. They have ordered TrueBlock, and they are going to have it as a protective device in all of the hospitals in their system. Joe, how important is that to getting TrueBlock validated and then launched?
John, it's a great question. You know, we did our validation prior to talking to University Hospital. Let me tell you some of the validation. I think it's really important. When we make a statement that it will protect first responders and first interactors, we also know that through our third-party validation testing laboratories, in addition to working with BCI, the Bureau of Criminal Investigations, that everything that we state has been proven and been verified and validated. That was important. So when we approached University Hospital, and actually when we approached University Hospital, it was 3 days before Chillicothe's correction facilities was shut down for an opioid catastrophe. And what happened there was they were processing an inmate. He had fentanyl on it. It went through the ductwork, and others got impacted, and a lot of officers and inmates went down. They ended up shutting down the correction facilities and deploying all these sick people to the hospitals. When that happened, that was actually 3 days after I had a meeting with Tom Zenti, the CEO of University Hospital. I said, Mrs. Zenti, I says, you really need to have this and you should be well aware of it. Wouldn't you know it? Timing couldn't have been any better for us. Unfortunately, there was a catastrophe. So what we did is after that incident, I shared with Mr. Zenti. I said, this is what we talked about before. We need to have a protection in place. We have to have a policy in place. We have to have a procedures in place. Mr. Zenti was good enough to introduce me to Dr. Beck. Dr. Beck and others of his team, we sat down, we talked about it, and fast forward to where we are today, they have purchased Block. They're deploying it. They're going through about 168 of their affiliates, and that would be firemen, police departments, EMS, and others in their affiliation. And that's really in their footprint. In addition to that, we have University Hospital through their emergency departments, which have 30 emergency departments, are going to roll this out. They're going to roll out Block amongst their nurses, their admitting staff, the doctors in emergency room. Currently, what happens is that when someone gets dropped off, and this is really sad when you think about it, there are patients that get dropped off in the middle of the night, middle of the day, at the doorstep of a hospital because they're overdosed. They just get dropped off there, and they're like, you know, someone else deal with this issue. Well, hospitals aren't really ready for some of that onslaught that's happening because it's an epidemic. It's happening more and more. So they have policies in place currently. We said, what happens when you have 10 people at one time? What happens if you have a school bus of children that there's some fentanyl and someone drops a baggie, it goes in the air, and you have 20, 30 kids, innocent kids, that are overwhelmed by fentanyl?
You know, Joe, it's interesting you say that. There was an arrest in Arizona this week of three high school kids that had $30 million worth of fentanyl pills. So fentanyl in the schools is something that could easily be imagined.
John, you know, it's a risk. People don't understand how fentanyl gets in this country. It comes in through China, comes in through Mexico. It's imported. It's imported, distributed either by the post office, through packages, whether it's Federal Express and other carriers, or it's come by mule. And the mules are going to be the drug cartel. They're putting it in a car, they're putting it in a van, they're putting it in a baggie, whatever it is, and it's coming across the border. And it's coming usually from the West Coast through Toledo, through other areas, north part of Ohio, as well as from the southern part of Ohio, and it comes up the artery.
You know, essentially you have something that was meant to be a patch to manage cancer pain that is now, as you point out, being manufactured surreptitiously in China, in Mexico. It increases the profits on the heroin trade. And of course, creates unknown risks to our society. Now, given the fact that we have interesting relations right now with Mexico and China, more confrontational than they've been in the past, will that have ramifications to the fentanyl supply issues, in your view?
Well, I think that drug dealers and peddlers are pretty creative. They'll always find a way, I believe that they'll always find a way to mass produce it and to deploy it. Are we going to have problems with Mexico and China? I would think so, especially if we have policies, you know, in the United States coming out of Washington, hey, you can't do this to us because they are really destroying our country from within. And here's what typically happens. There are people that either want to try it and get hooked on it because they can't walk away from it, or they try it and they overdose. I'm sure between 3 to 4 people of who we know in those relationships, we know someone who's been impacted by narcotics. It's sad. I know someone who knows someone who knows someone else, and they've had a death or they've had an injury. It's all around us, you know. We just can't ignore it, which means that everyone that's trying to save someone is at risk.
Which means also that this is a huge space from a business opportunity standpoint. And say, because of this university hospital validation that it takes off, is this something that will stay in the Toledo region from a manufacturing standpoint? What's the plan business development-wise going forward?
That's a great question because we don't know where it's going to take us, but I will share with you that we blend our block product locally. Our fulfillment center is also locally. We use MB Industries in Wapakoneta. They have the facilities. They have the skill sets. And it was important for us to keep this in Ohio. We're an Ohio corporation. We wanted to use all of the resources that we have in Ohio, and we achieved that. You know, from the product itself, from our law firm to our marketing to our blending to our fulfillment to our distribution, it's going to create jobs. It's because we're trying to keep it all local here. When I say local, it's in Ohio. Once we get University Hospital on board, and they create the policy, they will be the leader in how to share lessons learned and policies with other major hospitals. And John, you said earlier, Cleveland is the mecca of medical environment, the community. Everybody looks to Cleveland. You know, you have University Hospital, you got Case Western Reserve, you have the Cleveland Clinic, you have all these other hospitals, great hospitals. We create the policy. We set the standards. Before you know it, we're going to be in Louisiana where they also have drug problems. We'll be in Chicago. We'll be on the West Coast. I would tell you that within the next week and a half, we'll be in Canada. We have a meeting in Toronto with the leadership of Canada because there is also a problem there, a drug problem.
You know, Joe, when I think of the millions of people who are potentially threatened by fentanyl, not only police and fire, medical facilities, delivery people, educators, but even average citizens riding on a bus or an airplane or in an auditorium, suddenly the value of the protection becomes very obvious. So when organizations have TrueBlock, is that in reflected in their insurance rates or, I guess, peace of mind for those that are self-insured?
I would think that those that are self-insured will understand that there is a device, an encapsulated device, that could protect their staff. You know, we met with some certain PhDs, and some of them came out of Akron University. Again, we're trying to keep it local. And Andrew Thomas wrote a white paper. And he wrote the white paper on transportation and the fears and the risk and the challenges of how to contain and maintain the safety of its riders, whether it's a regional transit authority, on a bus, whether it's on a train, whether it's on an airplane. Everyone is at risk because it takes just a small 3 to 4 grains to actually overwhelm an individual, whether it's a 250-pound person or a young child. That transportation is legitimate. It's a real threat. We have to be prepared for it.
Is the availability of this protection widely known to the people that need it? I mean, where would you say you stand in terms of awareness?
I would say that we're starting. We're starting to educate. There's so much poor information. So our challenge today is to inform people that there is a solution. There was no choice. There is a choice now. Because we have plenty of inventory in stock, our mission is to educate, inform, and to place it in the hands of those that could use it the best. We have a lot of work to do, but I think through legislation, we hope that through legislation, that there'll be some policies in place and there'll be some funding for those that do not currently have funding in their budgets because they never had to think about it before. But now they got to concern themselves like, how do we protect our first responders, our first interactors, and everyone else that is at risk?
Are you getting any help from the organizations that work with these first responders, the people that are at risk, to, one, help them learn about it, and two, help them acquire it?
No, John, that's very frustrating. You know, as a small startup company, we don't get recognized. We're not on a screen as a blip yet. But I think that once we have success, and I think the University Hospital is so important to all of us. You know, we're currently in Ohio. We're in other states. I will tell you also that recently we were able to have a lot of success with the correction facilities in Pennsylvania. We're servicing some of the correction facilities in Ohio as well as adult parole. Adult parole has 6 different districts. They're going to be rolling out block because when the parole managers go into different environments, they're at risk. They're at risk. And they see all kinds of things. When you think about it, there's a lot of drugs in prisons. It is what it is. Right? It gets in there somehow, unfortunately, whether it's through the mailroom or through carriers, whatever like that. We know this because it's been deployed also in Ohio Corrections. We had a meeting in Pennsylvania. They've adopted it. They've accepted it. They've done their training. And the way we do our training, we do it through our LMS. Our LMS is online. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days. They could go on. They could learn about our LMS. And they go through our website, which is www.trueblock.us. They'll go through the website. They'll learn about it. And then before you know it, you know, we're servicing them. A lot of times we're doing an in-house training with them. We love to have a room with 25 to 30 people of officers or those that are use it because that's when we have lessons learned. We share that and we actually have a very tangible, tactical experience. I would tell you also, let's talk about tactical. We had an opportunity to deal with SWAT and as part of the EDGE group, which is about 6 different districts or police departments. The SWAT team, they see it, they understand it, as well as the sheriff associations, the police organizations, the fire and the EMS. Actually, this week coming up, we'll be in Louisville, Kentucky for the National Sheriff's Association annual event. And we'll be meeting with the executive committee and showing them why we think that we need their support behind Block, our product, and the True Block Corporation.
So just next week, you have not only the sheriffs, but you have University Hospital bringing in all the first responders from nearly all of Ohio. This is the kind of thing, Joe, that could go from 0 to 100 pretty fast. I mean, this is the kind of thing, theoretically, President Trump's opioid commission could say, we need this across the country. Just to imagine a rollout where suddenly everybody wants it because they know they need it. Can this scale?
We have this the scale capabilities. What we've done is that because Tom Nachman is a chemist and we have the patent, we can blend this. We have secondary plans in place for fulfillment as well as for blending. The distribution that we do right now, since there are 1.5 ounces, they're small canisters, and we package 48 to a box. We can ship it by UPS. We can ship it by common carrier because there are no propellants, and it's non-flammable and non-explosive, non-combustible. We can ship it in an airplane. We can ship it, you know, overnight. Doesn't make a difference. Currently, we have about 30,000 cans. We just placed another order for the cans. Actually, what's interesting, this is the first time I'm selling a product. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for about four different other companies, but never sold a product. And what I'm finding is that there's a lead time on the cans. It's not on the bag and valve technology. It's not on the product. It's not anything else. It's the cans. Didn't know that. But I think when we get to the point of, that we can order a million at a time, that will be a recognizable client, and it will get what we want. We won't have to wait 5 to 6 weeks. We'll probably get a little bit quicker.
Okay, so now let's go from the huge order to a small order. Is this something that a vulnerable worker could afford to buy for their own protection?
Absolutely. Now, we sell our product at $39.95 per canister. We package 12 at a time. We found that actually not only the law enforcement, but also funeral directors. Now, people don't think about a deceased person that can cause risk for others, but I would tell you that we've talked to the funeral director decision makers. They're concerned because sometimes as many as 50 or 60,000 people die a year of overdoses. There are enough of those that are, I'll call them dirty. They still have some residue. They are at risk for those that are working on them. So the funeral directors and those that are doing the preparatory stuff, they're at risk also. So I think, to answer your question, I think we'll have plenty of capacity to do distribution. Most of those there are going to go, the smallest container or package we would sell is 12. And we'll do that only because some departments don't have the funding. And once we get the funding established, I think that the distributions will go where it's supposed to, which is about 3 canisters per individual. It does come with a holster, and we say 3 canisters. This way, there's always one on site on themselves, one in a locker, one in their jump bag, and they'll never run out. You don't want to have this and say, "I wish I would have had it on me." Too little, too late. People die.
Now, we're talking about an illegal substance here in fentanyl, and law enforcement is dealing with fentanyl in the context normally of a criminal investigation. Does the application of TruBlock eliminate fentanyl as evidence?
No, it doesn't. We're fortunate that through great engineering, chemical engineering and design, that fentanyl, when it's a powder substance and we mix it with block, we get to encapsulate that. So what happens is that our block material is not only orange in color, which is a hazmat orange, but it also will encapsulate the powder substance. If it's on a flat surface or a dry surface, it encapsulates it. Now, what happens is that we could take that material, once it cures, it depends on the temperature and humidity. Once it cures, usually between 8 to maybe 25 minutes, it really all depends. They could collect that evidence, put it in an evidence bag, send it to the laboratory for forensic. It does not inhibit and does not alter the powder substance.
So, Joe, finally here, if someone is listening to this and wants to help get TruBlock into the hands of their community's first interactors, is there anything they can do to help make that happen? What can people listening do to help get this thing widely into the communities?
I think there's several different ways. I think one of them is the grassroots, and that's based on our audience. The grassroots I'm talking about is that they should be talking to those that maybe have not heard this station or have heard this episode, and they could talk to, like, I didn't know that there was a solution. The friends and family, okay? I think those individuals that are truly engaged have to talk upstream to their commanders, their leaders of the organizations. And then I think the last part of it is that they should all be talking to policymakers. And the policymakers on the political side are the ones that can really drive the solution. And I say drive it, they could change policy, they could do awareness. There's so much to do because nothing has been done for so long. So we're coming out of the chute. We have a product. It's local. It's been proven. It's been tested. It's out there. When we're talking to the National Sheriff's Association, we're talking University Hospital. We're talking to the fire department. We're talking to Northwood. All these individuals, they get it. They understand it. They believe in it. And we think that as others get on board, we'll be able to maintain the problems that we have. I don't think that the imports are going to slow down. I don't think they're going to stop. So we need to be protected.
You know, it seemed to me as just an old economic development professional, given the size of this space and the fact that Cleveland and Ohio are trying to be leaders in medical device, and that you're in the medical device space, that this is the kind of thing that the state of Ohio as an economic development growth opportunity should be pushing. Are they helping?
Not as of yet, but I will tell you, this is what part of our strategy is, that we'd love to have, once a year, we'd like to have a summit. If we have a summit in Ohio, wherever the city may be, you know, now you're talking about people coming in. They're not only are they going to come in for 2 or 3 days, we're going to have speakers, we're going to have education. It's going to be more about other issues of fentanyl, other powder substances, opioids, or the crisis that's there. So there is an economic impact. Not only are those that are coming in for the seminars, et cetera, like that, but as we go out, to other areas and do this nationally, that'd be great. The other part about it is that, you know, we're going to be doing more packaging, more production, more shipment, and there is a large education component. We're training people right now throughout the country of how to educate those that are in high schools and in colleges and in grammar schools about the risk and how to stop it from really impacting their health. In addition to that, we're going to do the same thing on the medical side. We're going to do the same thing on the fireman side. Same thing on the EMS side. You know, so when you think about it, as we said before, Andrew Thomas's white paper, he's in Europe this summer talking about fentanyl and the risk of powder substances. And he's a local guy. So there is a lot of impact, economic development impact and cost and reward.
Thank you, Joe. Best of luck to True Black, and thank you for joining us this morning on In Focus.